Welcome to the Incredible Eye Show, where the past, present, and future of the IBM Eye come alive. Every episode, we delve into the remarkable world of IBM Eye, shedding light on its transformative power and unparalleled resilience. From its storied history to today's innovative solutions, we bring you insights, interviews, and a touch of tech wizardry. Whether you're a seasoned IBM Eye professional, a tech enthusiast, or someone looking to understand the significance of IBM Eye in today's tech landscape, this is the podcast for you. So buckle up and get ready to be inspired. Hey, listeners, before we get started today, I want to take a moment to shine a big, bright light on our two new sponsors. First up, meet Bright Skies. Ever felt lost in the digital transformation maze? Bright Skies is here to guide. With their expertise, your business isn't just surviving, it is thriving in this digital age. And speaking of experts, up next, programmers.io. Imagine having tech maestros at your fingertips, turning your software visions into seamless reality. That's the magic programmers.io brings to the table. Massive appreciation to both Bright Skies and programmers.io for backing the show. Hello, tech aficionados, and welcome to the Incredible Eye Show. I'm your host, Peg Tuttle, and I'm thrilled to have you with us for an exciting episode. This week, I'm joined by the incredible Liam Allen, a tech expert from IBM. We met face-to-face in the beautiful city of Prague for a great conversation. We dive into what Liam's been up to, explore the ever-evolving user experience on IBM Eye, uncover the latest in VS Code updates, and learn how they're turbocharging productivity. So get ready for a tech-packed adventure with Liam Allen right here on The Incredible Eye Show. Welcome to the show, Liam. Yeah, hey everybody. I am here with Liam Allen from IBM. We are at the Common Europe Congress, and we're just sitting down to have a little conversation about what you've been up to and this awesome platform. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's just such a beautiful day outside. I'm glad we can be together out here as well.
Yeah, we are outside. Yeah, it is gorgeous out. It's beautiful weather here in Prague. Yep. So let's just talk a little bit about Liam before we get started in diving into all of the great things that you've been working on at IBM. Let's just talk a little bit about you and what you've been up to. Give everybody a quick update on your life, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, other than working in North Carolina, going to a bunch of conferences, as you know, we see each other left, right, and center, I feel like, this year, especially this year, which has obviously kept me very busy. And it's been, you know, I've had the opportunity to work with more customers than ever before. Actually, it's been always very pleasant. And outside of that, I mean, outside of work, you know, enjoying living in the mountains and, you know, love taking long drives. It seems to be like the thing that I love to do at the moment, especially, you know, in Western North Carolina. It's just so beautiful all the time.
Yeah. And,
you know, we're surrounded by nature and I'm just soaking up life as it happens, to be honest with you at the moment.
Wonderful. So, and you got married last year.
I did, yeah.
So
I
got married last year. That was, I think, a big thing.
Yeah, she's excellent. Never been happier in my life, to be honest. I think she's amazing. So,
awesome.
Yeah,
well, that's good. That's good. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah,
so let's just talk a little bit now about, you know, what you've been up to at IBM. And I know that the VS Code has been top of your list and you've been working on enhancing it and getting it out to the masses. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I obviously was working on it pre-IBM. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
And so it has been, you know, when I started, it was a slow start, you know, starting any new job, you kind of learn, always learning new things. But, you know, fortunately, I've been able to continue working on it. There are even other people at IBM that work on it as well. Now it's not, you know, in terms of IBM, it's not just me that works on it, which is really cool.
Yeah.
You know, and as well as VS Code, you know, IBM have me doing different things too. You know, I maintain different code bases that aren't, you know, things that I'm very familiar with. So I've been doing a bunch of Java as well.
Oh, wow.
Unfortunately, Java's not my favorite runtime to work with. But yeah, the VS Code stuff definitely takes up, you know, 50% at least of my time at my day job. mm-hmm. and also takes up 50% of time in my own time.
Yeah.
So right. I'm just, you know, I'm pretty passionate about it. You know, really the thing it's supposed to do is solve developer experience issues that mm-hmm. we have. You know, that's really what I care about, right? Is making the platform more accessible. And in my eyes, I think that there are some that probably don't agree, but in my eyes, I think there's a chance that we can make the platform more accessible through the use of VS Code. And that's really the goal behind that, right?
I know some of the people that I've run into a lot recently have said that, you know, that they were strictly green screeners. I mean, they couldn't get their arms wrapped around RDI. They just couldn't make that move. Or maybe they didn't have the funds in the company to make the move. And, you know, as we all know, the VS Code solution is at no charge, and which is really awesome. But, you know, they've been able to transition to a more modern looking solution. Yeah. And are you seeing that? What kind of feedback are you getting from users of the tool?
Absolutely. I mean, most of our user base, I would say 60% of them are previous SEU users, mm-hmm. and the other 40% probably being RDI.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. You've converted that. Wow, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of users now, a lot of active, you know, daily users, and that does include people coming from RDI. And, you mm-hmm. know, it's not to say we're doing anything intentionally to, to do that. I mean,
it's just natural.
It just, I mean, we really care about what people think and about how they use the product. And the cool part about, really, but the best part about it, which is really a benefit to the customer and or to the user, we don't have customers, we have users, right? Mm-hmm. The best part is that we can, if they provide us feedback, we can ship stuff easily. It's really easy for us to deliver value mm-hmm. very fast, mm-hmm. Which is great for them. It's great for us because we can work in an active pace.
Yeah.
It's really quite exciting to work on for me. So
and
actually, the core team are here in Prague as well. I know, obviously, we're having this chat, but I'm holding a photo of them. And they're here in Prague.
Oh my gosh.
The other two people that work on it, Sebastian and Christian, and we're having a great time. It's the first the three of us have ever been around each other.
Oh my gosh!
It's been a great time for us.
I think when you're together, the idea share really takes off. You know, it's just that face to face, and then not only are just the three of you meeting together and coming together for the first time, but you're probably hearing from others. You know, users, what are they saying as far as, you know, like, how has it enhanced their
day-to-day?
Yeah, their day-to-day.
Generally, the real benefit that people have gotten is just the performance, really. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, the original idea behind building the extensions was not slowing down the developer. Like, you know, the UI shouldn't hold up when something is going on in the background. And also making it easier to access certain menus and making sure that the flow of the product actually makes sense. And so we found that performance really is the biggest and coolest part. And not just in terms of speed, but also in terms of the developer actually doing their job and how fast they can do their job.
Yeah.
That's been the biggest piece of feedback.
So, can you put like a number on that? Like, are they able to do their job 40% faster, 50% faster, 100% faster?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about a number. And if you know, the biased answer is 100%.
Yeah,
faster,
right.
But I don't think maybe 40%. Maybe
40%.
I don't know. It could be. Yeah. It depends who you ask. You know, I think the team may say something else, you know, and obviously we all speak to different users as well. I think that, you know, the users that I speak to the most are at conferences where, you know, I'm fortunate enough where the team will look after the users online. Not to say I don't, but, you know, I meet the people usually, you know, obviously we go to a lot of conferences and I meet the people that are just starting to use it.
Yeah.
Obviously we get to introduce these, you know, these folks to this new stuff, and you know, most of them are very happy. Like, I did a workshop. A lot of them had never used it before, uh-huh. and they've left feeling fairly productive, which is great. And hopefully that they can continue with that when they leave. Yeah. That's really, that would be great if that happens.
Yeah. So. Oh, I know what's happening. I actually was talking to a couple of developers last week back home in the States, and they were saying that primarily SEU users, green screen was their way of life, right? And they said that they just had, there was so much buzz around VS Code that they had to download it.
Yeah.
They checked out some of your tutorials and your information on the website. And they said in a matter of a couple of days, but for sure by the end of the week, they were proficient with the product. It was awesome. They said they had no idea.
I was just chatting with Sebastian earlier today, and we were thinking about adding this thing that adds the audio shortcuts to VS Code, just so when people are trying VS Code for the first time and they know RDI, then at least they can come to VS Code and still have the same shortcuts. That seems to be a big issue, is that the shortcuts are different, but it's very easy for us to map, you know,
cool.
It's very easy for us to do that. So we've been thinking about, you know, how we can do that. You know, when they use it for the first time, do they want to see a message that says, you know, do you want the RDI shortcuts, and we can set it up for them, and that kind of like experience, you know, it's
the would be so awesome.
I know, it's kind of cute to think
I love that. I was just going to ask about like future development and enhancements, and it sounds like you're already pulling the list together. And
yeah, I mean, it's so funny that you said about like meeting together and kind of collaborating while you're in person, but I'm pretty sure the three of us have just spent the last few days just like talking about bugs.
Oh.
Like, it's kind of funny. Like, we just talk about like what issues we have open. And that's not to say there's a lot, but like we talk about really the issues that we have to solve. Because really we're at the stage where we try not to add lots of new features because it's already huge. Like, I mean, there's so much in it. At a point, it's just like, we need to slow down and start to stabilize more. And so that's kind of like what our goal is right now is stabilization of the tool. And
you know,
so then we can at least, it's easier for us to listen to feedback and make changes to existing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I love that. Well, and you know, it's software development, right? You know, there are best practices when we like create new tools and, you know, provide new functionality. But I think what you're saying about, you know, that stabilizing, it makes sense, right? Yeah. And so
it's definitely harder for us to make, it's easy to add new features, but it's definitely harder for us to make changes at this point because we already have a lot of users and we don't really want to upset anybody, right?
Right.
We don't want to impact the flow very much. So, we, you know, it's harder for now, especially we have a lot of users, so it's very difficult for us to make change.
Can you put a number on how many users?
Yeah, we have some very small metrics, but we have about 1700 daily active users, which means that they're connected to a system for more than 4 hours a day. We don't collect like what system or anything.
This
is just like stuff that VS Code can collect for us.
Okay.
And they can also opt out. We don't forcibly.
Oh, so there's probably that many more users that have opted out.
We have a lot of users that also use a version of VS Code that doesn't collect any of that information, and that's totally fine. I'm not pressed on that. We have about 1600 to 1700 a week daily daily users, which is great.
That is super awesome. So I let's talk a little bit about that developer experience and why is it so important.
Well, I think that, you know, for people that write, TypeScript and in .NET languages and even in Java, say, you know, the IDEs are really built in making their lives easier. For example, you know, if you're using some kind of third-party library or a module that you like an open source one, and you know, effectively the IDE would say, well, you can access this module and it knows about all of the things that it provides, all the methods and all the functions that it can provide. And of course, you know, RDI has been able to do this for a while. But, you know, what VS Code can, in my opinion, the UI that VS Code provides is really the highlight. To be very specific about it, I mean, there's things like the peak view, there is the preview of refactoring before you do it, it just looks very appealing. It's just easy on the eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not a lot of color to start off with, which is really important. You can add color, but we don't recommend you add color. But, you know, it's just very lightweight.
Yeah.
And I think that less is more in that regard.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
And really what the goal is in terms of developer experience is to show that, you know, IBM i can have the same developer experience as .NET languages can,
mm-hmm.
TypeScript, Node.js, PHP, like we can have that too.
Yeah.
We can absolutely have it.
Yeah.
Which is why it's so important to me.
Because yeah.
we really should just be like any other, you know, environment. We really should be.
Absolutely. And I think that is critical to hiring the skill set that we need in this environment. So getting those young professionals coming out of college who are familiar with VS Code.
Right.
And they can actually use it on the IBM i.
Yep, that's something I'm very happy about.
Yeah.
Personally, and I mean, the ever important part about building a developer experience is for me personally, is you actually have to use the tool to understand where the issues are, right? So,
yeah.
You know, not only am I having the pleasure of building code for IBM i, but I also use it at my day job. Like I have
yeah.
to. Like
yeah.
I work on an IBM i, right? So
yeah.
I have to,
yeah.
you know, you have to eat your own bread. You mm-hmm. can't just make it and give it away. You have to
yeah.
know if it's good or bad or,
yeah.
you know, and that's very important, I think, for building a product like this.
Mm-hmm. So. I just want to ask your opinion on this. What, I mean, you're a, you know, young professional on the IBM i. What advice do you have for other young professionals that are maybe thinking about coming into this market or don't
yeah.
even know anything about it, you know?
I don't know how good a piece of advice this is, but IBM i doesn't have many technical challenges. We have a lot of, we have a lot of people challenges. You know, IBM i can, if you want to do it, IBM i can pretty much do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people may say that, oh, you know, we've never used it like that before, or it doesn't work, or,
yeah.
you know, with a little bit of effort, you can pretty much do anything you want with IBM i. It may not be perfect, but it will work, and it generally is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably a terrible piece of advice, but don't let anybody say that something won't work. Or
yeah.
don't,
no, know. That's good advice.
Yeah,
so.
don't be afraid to just try something, you know. That's the only way we'll get anywhere.
Right, so. Right. And I think that the fact that you and all of your coworkers are at IBM, and all, I mean, just about anybody in this space are all available for questions, for conversations,
right.
or how-tos, you know.
Yeah.
And the availability of the team is bar none.
Just the fact that I also love doing it. I mean, pre-IBM, that was pretty much my life, was just talking to people and helping people learn and, you know, be better themselves, right? I mean, and luckily I love to do that anyway. And luckily it's still part of my job now at IBM. I mean, that's why we're here, right?
Yeah.
Is to help and interact with people and continue to do great things.
We know that your sessions are always packed, and other speakers who go up against your sessions are usually worried that they're not going to have many people.
No, I don't
there.
Know about that. We all have a good time. It's a good laugh.
Yeah. I think, you know, the other thing about that developers' experience and integration is, you know, one of the things that we touched on in our pre-call is collaboration. And how do you feel, or, you know, how do tools actually help with collaboration on a team, you know?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, I mean, there's a couple of aspects for this. I mean, for the users, look, our actual users, you know, there's some things that Git can do. I mean, we're sort of going down the line of maybe collaboration tools at this point, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, VS Code also has stuff in it for those that just use IBM i in its traditional manner, you know, the old way of doing coding, and that's fine. It's still valid. You know, there's certain features inside of VS Code and even outside of VS Code in generally modern IDEs that make doing, you know, two people working on a similar code base, and it's modern tools make it much easier to review code. Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, maybe you weren't asking for such a detailed answer, but
no, I think that's good.
You know, that VS Code has a bunch of different collaboration tools in it, let alone, its built-in Git client that it has, but it also has this really nifty feature called Live Share, where two people can work on the same code base in real time.
Oh, wow.
So I can see, for example, if you and I are working on the same piece of code, I could see your cursor at it, and I could see you typing, even if we're remote. It's really, and I've used that. I use it at work with Jesse mm-hmm. Gorzinski. Him and I have used that to write Java code. It's fantastic. You know, that, I mean, it, just the fact that we can do that blows my mind.
Yeah,
I think that, and you know, outside of that, at least for me and the people that work on code for IBM, the people that actually, you know, collaborate and build it together. I mean, myself, Christian, and Sebastian we review everything, but we don't stop anyone. I mean, it really is truly open source. Anybody can add something to it. They can fix a bug. They can change documentation, and it'll be reviewed. And mm-hmm. you know, and we love to encourage that. We love to work and review code. Mm-hmm. You know, as together. You know, mm-hmm. as people. Doesn't really matter. You know, we don't care who you are, as long as the code is good
code. And,
As long as,
or we can code, make it better.
Good code is good code, right? I mean, that's great. And like I said, we'll review it. We'll work with you to make sure it is great, the best it can be, and. Mm-hmm. And that's really worked out for us. I mean, I think we've had probably, we're in the mid, must be early 30, we've probably had 32 or 33 contributors now. That's 30 plus, people that just want to write some code for the extension.
Yeah.
That's really been a benefit. I mean, it's one of the biggest IBMI projects I've ever worked on.
Yeah.
At least in terms of open source ones anyway.
Yeah. So. Well, I think that, you know, people who are using it in their day-to-day lives, you know, they're actually developing applications for the businesses that they work for.
Right.
And so they're trying to, you know, do more with less. But I think it's interesting that they're probably bringing to you, you know, hey, did you think about this? Hey, did you think about that? Hey, it would be great to see this in the product.
It is like that. I mean, even being here is exactly like that.
Yeah.
Like, we've already had people today come up to me and say, when are we going to improve the printer file renderer? We're not going to.
There you go. You heard it here, folks.
Yeah, that's true. We aren't going to make the old stuff any better. It doesn't get any better. So, and to add on to the collaboration, something that actually is very exciting to see is that because we've made code for IBMI fairly extensible, when VS Code is already fairly extensible, I mean, vendors are now making their own extensions for VS Code and using code for IBMI for the API to talk to IBMI. And, I've had I'm fortunate enough to collaborate with each of them mm-hmm. and help them achieve their goals, right?
I mean,
you know, I feel like VS Code is kind of putting a spin on the IBMI market a little bit, because the vendors can all have a play and we're not limiting any vendors from playing in this space. We're actually enabling and definitely encouraging them to take part. And, you know, we have these users, you know, and you probably have customers that are using it at this mm-hmm. point. You know, and that's great. I mean, it's so fun to witness.
Yeah.
It's so great.
Yeah.
I mean, even here and even in Denver, I mean, vendors have the VS Code icon on their
slides and their pop-ups.
Yeah, their pop-up banners, you know.
Yeah,
and that's,
in the expo. Yeah.
2 years ago, a year ago.
You would not have seen. You didn't see it at all.
No.
People weren't even sure what it was.
I don't know what happened in the last, 6 months. It's just something has changed.
I'm happy it happened.
Me too.
It's been great.
Yeah, I'm really happy.
So I want to ask, security. You know, is there anything that the user needs to be have set up for enhanced security with the product, or maybe that isn't even a
it's a valid question.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So, unlike Rational, Code for IBMI is completely SSH driven. So usually, what we would recommend is you have a user. Of course, you can have a user profile, but you should set up a private public key pair for that user profile. So then the user really isn't having to enter in a password anymore.
Okay.
This is standard even outside of IBMI. You should always, whenever you're using SSH, you always have a key pair, excuse me, and never use a password.
Okay.
We definitely recommend that. We're actually talking about enhancements. We're trying to make a way to automatically set that up if they sign in with a password.
Oh, okay.
So we're trying to make it easier to be more secure and such. So
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know everybody's talking about security. There's always somebody, you know, trying to hack something.
Yeah, I know.
It's just the way of the world today. And, you know, somebody's always going to ask that question, you know, are there any additional security enhancements we need to do?
I mean, just like you would for SEU and RDR, you know, you should be making sure users only have access to specific libraries that they need and, you know, specific data points in their system. Standard stuff, it just sort of, you know, that's the way IBMI works. Everything is inherited like that. So, you know, making sure that user profile is set up correctly is utmost importance.
Absolutely.
But of course, there's nothing that I can do if they don't do that. So, which I'm sure you're aware.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Sorry. All object, not getting it, guys. Okay. So one of the other things that I know you're super passionate about is Node.js.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just talk a little bit about that. So maybe kind of give a little overview on Node.js.
It's a JavaScript runtime. Mm-hmm. So you can write JavaScript that runs on the server, basically. I mean, that's the simplest overview there is, right?
That's fantastic.
But mm-hmm. I mean, the reason I like it is because it allows me to build fast. I mean, I can build APIs with TypeScript. And Node.js, TypeScript is just a programming language that you can use. And I can spin it up and get them deployed on IBMI in 20 minutes. You know, I can run it locally. I can run it on the IBMI. That's also another key point I like about it, is it runs on every system. Mm-hmm. And the code doesn't really have to change between systems. That's a pretty big deal.
That is huge.
You know, traditional way of developing a Node app is you develop it like locally first, like you have your laptop here, you develop on that first.
Yeah.
And then you would deploy it to IBMI later. You could deploy it anywhere at that point, right? I mean, that's great. And of course, there's way other things. I mean, it has a huge package ecosystem where, you know, people are open sourcing packages that you can use. For example, I mean, a big popular thing that lots of IBMI clients do is generate documents, right? Like spreadsheets and PDFs. And you can do all that with Node.js with Node at no cost because those packages exist for free,
mm-hmm.
right? And you can use them. That's one really nice piece about it, is it's fast to prototype, it's fast to production. And of course, there's also lots of great database tooling out there. I mean, there's some really good ORMs, ORMs. There's some really good data, you know, every database works in Node as well. I mean, there's Postgres support, MS SQL, DB2 for I, you know, it's just so portable. And I mean, even the extension uses Node.js in the backend. I mean, it's always just been there. It's an excellent tool set to have. And also it's getting better. I mean, performance is always getting better with Node as well. And it runs quite well on IBMI. It runs anywhere. I mean, it's just, you know, I could go on about it, but it just is everywhere.
Yeah, so the benefits, or the added benefit to the IBMI developer, is exponential.
Yeah. If you want to build an API, or you want to build a batch process, or you want to build something that generates documents, for example, or you want to build an image generator, I don't know, anything. I mean,
you
can do so much.
Yeah. Do you have like a success story you could share?
I mean, pre-IBM, obviously was self-employed, right? And so a majority of my work was actually Node.js. It was 60-70% writing JavaScript and TypeScript running in Node.js. And sometimes on platform, sometimes off platform, but generally, you know, my clientele are those that have IBMI.
Right.
So my biggest success story was actually a client running a large Node API or an API backing by Node with a React app. So it was a full stack application. It was React talking to this API running in Azure, but then the API was using DB2 for I as its database.
Wow.
And so they had taken all of their, you know, they had wrapped all of their RPG in stored procedures to make it callable from the database, and they would return result sets that we could then consume and provide through the API. It was beautiful. I mean, they had never had a React app before. It was, I think it was a version of Material UI. It was the same app on desktop and mobile.
So
had one that just sort of resized. It was all DB2 Fry doing their order entry, their item handling, all their inventory, powered by Node.
Oh my gosh.
It was so fun.
Yeah. And I think I just love the, like, kind of the excitement in your voice around this was, it's just so, there's so much that our developers can do.
It comes back to what I said earlier. If somebody says that it can't do it, it can definitely do it.
Yeah.
It can definitely do it.
You got to try.
You have to try.
Ask questions, get out there and explore.
Yep.
And I think that's I'm trying to remember the person that I had on the show. It was Scott Forstie. He said it. He's like, you just got to give yourself a little bit of time every day, every week to go out and explore the technologies.
Yeah.
Keep learning. Constantly be bringing it back because you just never know.
It's true. We really don't have a technology problem. We have I hate to say it, but we have a little bit of a people problem. Like, we just don't put the time in to go and continue to learn.
Yeah. You know? And as technologists, that's what we do. That's our job.
Yeah,
if we're not bringing it back to the office, somebody else is going to come in and take away your job. Yeah. You know, they're going to bring in a different application. They're going to replace you. So,
which is a common story that we hear a lot is people moving off platform, you know?
Yeah. And I think we're seeing some changes happening there, which is really
it's definitely
good.
I'm definitely hearing it less than I have been in the last 5 years.
Yes.
This year, for sure.
Yes. So. But that's our job. Our job is to go get it. And it doesn't mean that, you know, you go to a conference or you're watching a webinar online or you're, you know, entertaining, like a blog or a, like Reddit or, what's
anywhere.
The other
YouTube.
Whatever. It doesn't mean that you're going to, you know, start using it right away. Maybe you're just kind of gathering in the back of your mind these different options and exploring them so that when you're sitting at that meeting and somebody says, I'd really like this from a business perspective, I'd really like to see this. You as the technologist can then say, I think I can do this for you. I think I could build this for you. And I've got all of this great technology at my fingertips. So, and have fun with it.
You have to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I think that that is really, really important to the work that we're doing today is really just continuing to learn. So, well, you know what? I want to get you back into the conference. So thank you so much for sitting down with me. Couple of things. So I like to just turn the mic over to my guests. And if there's something that we didn't cover that you want to talk about real quick.
I think we hit all the spots for me.
Okay.
Anyway,
awesome.
Yeah,
all the highlights.
Yeah,
all right.
I'm leaving smiling. So that's good.
Good.
I'm
good.
Happy.
So, all right, then let's get on to our one incredible thing. So Liam, what is your one incredible thing this week?
It has been difficult to come up with it, but and it also probably didn't help that I miss being at home, but I enjoy my once a year vacation to the beach.
Oh, okay.
We always go at the end of the year when it's cold and no one's there, but we leave and we already can't wait to go back. So, it's almost that time of year. It really is the most incredible time of the year for me. It really is fantastic. So,
nice.
Yeah, and like I said, maybe it's because I'm missing home. Now it's even like more prominent, but it's just like, I love just taking it easy, you know.
Relaxing
on the beach. That sounds really good.
I think that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
When we go on vacations, my husband's like, okay, what do we got going today?
Yeah.
And I'm going, I'd just like to go sit in the chair on the beach, you know, or go hang out by the pool.
Yeah, I mean, we may not even spend all the time at the beach. We usually get a golf cart as well. and we like drive the golf car around, so it's kind of just a good laugh, you know. It's something a little different, so we're gonna do it once a year, may as well enjoy it.
I think that's great. So wonderful. Well, my incredible thing is being here in Prague. I haven't been overseas in a couple of years, so
you're enjoying it, right?
I am loving it. Yeah. I'm actually kind of compiling a list of all the things I want to go see. I have a few days at the end of this conference to hang out and see the sights. So, I've got people saying, oh, you got to go here. You got to go do this. And I just like, getting out and seeing people, you know, experiencing different lifestyles, you know, and how people live in other countries. I think it gives me another perspective when I get home, and I just appreciate everything I have.
It's great. Yeah. It's really fantastic. Have you been out to eat much here?
Just a couple of times.
Have you noticed they really enjoy pork?
Yes, and beef too.
Yeah, I know, it's kind of funny because
the food is kind of heavy.
It is. Yeah, they love their bread and their pork. Yeah, it seems. Yeah. It's kind of funny. Like, I mean, chicken is like the biggest meat that everybody eats at home. For me, and I come here, everyone's like beef and pork, but it's not excellent. I'm just observation of Prague. Yeah, but it's good.
Yesterday at lunch, I had goulash.
Oh, and it was excellent, too. I loved it.
I was expecting a pasta-based goulash, but that's not it. It's gravy with it, and this had beef in it, and then it had slices of bread dumplings, and they were like big pieces of bread slices, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to eat all this food, but... Oh my gosh, it was good. The gravy was phenomenal.
The goulash was fantastic.
So, well, thank you so much, Liam, for sitting in an interview with me here in Prague at the Congress or at the Common Europe Congress. It's great to see you. It's great to see everybody. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, appreciate absolutely. It.
I'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors. Unveil the future of IBM I integrations with Bright Skies. As the renowned IBM I and specialists, we're not just a consulting company, we're your innovation catalyst. Deep dive into tailored e-commerce solutions, robust security measures, and custom RPG innovations. With over two decades under our belt and a dedicated North America team, Bright Skies goes beyond mere consultation. We build trust, spark dynamic partnerships, and redefine business excellence. Curious? Check us out at brightskies.com. That's BRITESKIES.com. Your next big leap awaits. Unlock your full potential with programmers.io. Are you looking to enhance your development skills and modernize your strategies, or maybe backfill a retiring team member? Look no further than programmers.io, your go-to destination for all things IBM I. They are dedicated to helping the IBM I community with development and modernization strategies that align with their goals. Programmers.io helps you deliver innovation faster for an improved customer experience, satisfaction guaranteed, or you don't pay. Programmers.io, empowering the IBM I community one developer at a time. Check them out at programmers.io. Empower, connect, innovate. Common is at the heart of IBM I. Join a global community passionate about continuous learning, shared experiences, and transformative tech solutions. At Common, your growth is our mission. Elevate your expertise, connect with industry leaders, and shape the future of IBM I. Your potential is limitless. Discover more at common.org. Mid-Range Dynamics is your one-stop shop for accelerating change and integration on IBM I. Their products include MD Change for control and automation for DevOps, MD Workflow orchestrates and integrates CI/CD pipelines, MD Rapid reduces database downtime from hours to minutes, and MD REST for I, your all-in-one REST API solution. Head over to their website for more information or to schedule a demo. You'll find the link in the show notes.